The present conference, therefore, is on the familiar Catholic prayer, Hail, Holy Queen. In order to get as deeply as we can into the subject and the time at our disposal, I thought I would use the Church's official Latin text to draw the meaning while reflecting on our familiar English translation. First, let's recite the Hail, Holy Queen. Hail, Holy Queen, Mother of Mercy, our life, our sweetness, and our hope. To Thee do we cry, poor banished children of Eve. To Thee do we send up our sighs, mourning and weeping in this valley of tears. Turn then, most gracious Advocate, thine eyes of mercy toward us. And after this our exile, show unto us the blessed fruit of thy womb, Jesus. O clement, O loving, O sweet Virgin Mary. The prayer begins with the invocation, Hail. It is actually a salutation. And I think it is important to note that while both the Hail Mary and the Hail Holy Queen in English begin with the same word, Hail, the Latin is Ave Maria, but it is Salve Regina. The Hail of the Hail Mary is the first word of the angelic salutation to Our Lady. Ave is addressed to one speaking as a messenger from a higher authority. Salve is a salutation addressed to someone who is here as a human being equal to ourselves. We are addressing Mary as one of us. In English we say, Holy Queen. The Latin simply says, Regina. These first two words are, you might say, placing ourselves into Mary's presence, to be aware of her, conscious of her, and by that act, put other thoughts and sentiments aside. She is indeed Queen. Queen is Mother of Christ, the King. Queen is Mother of the Church. Under the cross, and then, from Christ's ascension to her assumption, she was Queen of the Infant Church, which she helped to mother. And now, She is Queen of the Church triumphant, Queen of the Church militant, and Queen of the Church suffering. Mother of Mercy, our present Holy Father has given us what I consider the classic definition of mercy. Mercy is sacrificial love. Love that is shown by sacrifice. Mary, therefore, is Mother of Mercy, because she is the mother of the source of mercy, Christ our Lord. But in a true sense, she joined with her Son in His showing of mercy on earth. Mary suffered in spirit along with Christ, who suffered physically. But this is not merely a title, Mother of Mercy. Mary is not only entitled Mother of Mercy. She is the channel of Christ's mercy now. Let's be very plain. There are two profoundly different senses, one building on the other, in which Mary is Mother of Mercy. She is Mother of Mercy because she is the one who is the source of the God-man who, by his sufferings and death on the cross, merited, that's the verb, merited our salvation. And in a mysterious sense, she, what shall we say, always subordinate to her Son, but co-merited our redemption. But now, Our Lady, is no longer joining with her Son in meriting our salvation. She is now Mother of Mercy in a profoundly different sense. She is now the channel or the means by which the mercy already gained by Christ's death on Calvary is now communicated. She is therefore Mother of Mercy twice over. Mother of Mercy, which she cooperated with Christ in meriting, and secondly, and continually, until the end of time, she is the Mother of Mercy as being the conduit, the channel, the bridge over which the mercy merited on the cross is now communicated from Christ through her. Our life. How is Mary our life? She is the mother of our supernatural life as Christ's mother. She is also the mother of our supernatural life by her intercession. Only God knows, and in eternity will we find out. Is this a safe statement? Yes. Except for Mary's intercession, we would not now be in the state of grace and possessing supernatural life. Christ is the source, but we are permitted to believe that Mary's intercession, beginning with her cooperation with Christ during his life on earth, obtained from God for us the supernatural life we now possess. Our sweetness, Mary's happiness, symbolized by the word sweetness, the Latin dulcedo, means her happiness. Mary's happiness is the model of what ours should be. Mary's happiness in heaven is also the promise of our happiness in heaven. Finally, and our hope. Mary is the model of what our hope should be. Two virtues we cannot attribute to Christ, and they are faith and hope. Two virtues we must attribute to Mary are her faith and hope. Mary had to hope. It was her hope that provided for her the extraordinary graces which she possessed. And her hope is meant to inspire our hope. Based on faith, Our Lady did not see the face of God. She did not see while on earth the reason, the rational foundation for so many things she was told to believe. Yet, contrary to all evidence to the contrary, she believed and she hoped. So far in the Hail Holy Queen, all of this is veneration. And it's not in the English. After we say, Mother of Mercy, our life, our sweetness, and our hope, the Latin closes the first part of the Salve Regina by adding another Salve. There are two Salves, one to start the prayer and one to close the first part, which is veneration. Then the prayer continues. To thee do we cry, the Latin, A te clamamus. It is here that the Hail, Holy Queen, becomes now an earnest, pleading petition. It is the strongest and most heartfelt, most emotional plea for mercy from God through His Mother that I know in all the churches. Vocabulary. To thee do we cry. It is a cry of urgency, of appeal. we might almost say, but not quite, of desperation. It is a cry of trustful confidence. Poor banished children of Eve, why are we banished? There's profound wisdom in this short petition. Had it not been for our first parents, had they not sinned, what would have happened? All we know is that we are now not in heaven because of man's sin. We are on earth, and we are not in our true home. We came from God. We are destined for Him, but we are obviously not there. The prayer goes on. To Thee do we send up our sighs. This is the hope of children, confident that if we plead with our mother, she will grant us what we need. Then to add to the urgency, mourning and weeping, the two strongest Latin words, gementes et flentes, mourning over sin and trial, and weeping, perhaps in body, but we should be weeping in spirit. You may be surprised when I tell you that St. Ignatius, my father in God, urges his followers to pray for the gift of tears. In other words, to be so strongly moved in spirit over our sinful states and over the sorrows and trials that befall us, that we should shed tears of body. St. Ignatius told us we should pray for the gift of tears. I am not exaggerating when I say that a person who has never in a lifetime experienced what it means to weep spiritual, supernatural sorrow should pray for the gift which is expressed in this prayer. The more we're caught up in the pleasures and joys of this world, the less meaningful this prayer becomes, until I'm afraid for many people, their prayer has become so commonplace. The profound meaning of deep interior sorrow expressed in this prayer to Our Lady is not experienced. We tell Our Lady, to Thee do we send up our sighs. Suspiramus. Mary, we believe, is our mother. We therefore are her children. The hope, therefore, that we express is the hope of children to their mother. And confident, she will hear us. Oh, how many times in speech and in print I have quoted this part of the Salve Regina. Valley of tears. I come back to those tears. God help us. God help us. If the phrase Valley of Tears is mere poetic piety. The valley is this earth. The mountain is heaven. That's the language of God's revelation over the centuries. And how we need to look forward, dear God, to scale that mountain. Climbing from this valley on earth. Turn then, most gracious advocate, thine eyes of mercy toward us. The word advocate means exactly what it says, advocata nostra. She is God's chosen defense lawyer on our behalf. Thanks, Lord. We address her as most gracious advocate. She would be. She is a merciful mother of a merciful son. I wish in the time at our disposal I could make clearer. Maybe it's clearer in your mind than in mine. All I know is that in so many people's minds, mercy, which is God's love shown to sinners, that is a two-syllable word, that because we are sinners, we deserve pain, suffering, punishment. Hear it. There is no choice, either here or and hereafter. So the mercy that we're asking Our Lady to obtain from her son is to be spared the suffering that is coming to us with mathematical equity. There is no choice. There's only one life in this world, one death, one judgment, and one life in eternity. Either, there's no choice. Either we suffer here to expiate our sins, or we're going to pay for it after we die. And we beg Our Lady to intercede not just for ourselves individually. We say she is our life, our hope. This is a collective plea of a sinful mankind begging the Mother of God to obtain from her Son, who is the just God, mercy. And after this, our exile, show unto us the blessed fruit of thy womb, Jesus. The language behind this prayer is the language of Christianity. Believing, we don't have here, thank God, a lasting home. But what an adversity. But it all depends on whom we will meet the moment we close our eyes on time and open them to eternity. How we want to see the face of Mary's Son, not angry, which we deserve, but smiling as we hope. The middle part, so far, is the heart of the Salve Regina. It is an urgent plea for mercy. And as the Hail Holy Queen began, so it ends. Once more, as veneration, addressing Our Lady under the threefold title, Clement, Loving, and Sweet. Unfortunately, our English language has become so contorted and confused. I'm afraid for most people, when they hear the word Clement, what am I saying? Understanding, because she's human like us, sympathetic. Oh, Pia, whether in English we say pious or loving, it does not bring out what the Church's official language tells us. A man is pious, a woman pia, when they are faithful, loyal. Faithful to God, that's Mary. Faithful to us, as her children. O Dulcis Virgo Maria. She enjoyed the sweetness of enjoying God. All bodily tastes are the poorest imitation of the deep interior joy that loving God, and in return being loved by Him, gives a person, Mary, experienced a foretaste on earth. And now, have you ever heard this? Mary is the happiest human person in heaven. Her divine Son, though man, is a divine person. Virgin Mary, virgin in body, virgin in spirit, undefiled by sin. And the closing word, Mary, which over the centuries of the Church's reflection can best be identified as Lady Domina. And for our purpose, the Hail Holy Queen ends where it began, because Mary means the Queen. By way of closing observation, I might share with you what St. Ignatius tells us to teach others. He not only recommends, he tells us as a matter of responsibility. The vocal prayers that we are accustomed to reciting, Salve Regina, is an example, should be meditated on periodically, in order that their inner meaning might be grasped. Makes sense. It is not only that our prayers might be psychologically more satisfying. The main reason is that they might be supernaturally more effective, more meritorious before God. When we pronounce words, the 24 or so words of the Salve Regina, what did we have as we have during the past half hour? Come to some inner understanding of the meaning of what we say. Hear it. The value of our prayer is enhanced immensely, because then, when we are praying vocally, we place into the words we pronounce the meaning that our minds have grasped and that our wills embrace. And God rewards us according to the depth of our prayer. And the depth of vocal prayer is directly dependent on our understanding of what we are saying. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.